for our message this morning, we are going to continue to follow right along with the GEMS theme verses that they have been studying throughout the year. And we will look a little bit more in depth this morning to see not only what they have been saying to our girls, but also to us and how we are to pray for our girls and how we are to minister to our girls. And I think I'm going to touch along a lot of the same themes that they have been looking at throughout the year, as well as ways that we can apply it to us as well. So we're looking at Romans 12 verses 1 through 2. If you want to grab the Pew Bible, you can and look there if you brought your own personal copy. But this morning, I have it up on the screen for you. And so you can just follow right along with that. And since this is the reading of Scripture, I'm going to invite you to stand. And invite you to stand. And since it is only two verses this morning, I'm going to invite you to read these right along with me. So as we read these together, these ancient words, let them speak to us. Let God's Spirit speak to us through these words. Let us say them together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And may God add his blessing to the reading of Scripture this morning. You may be seated. So girls, as you have been saying in this past year, I do believe that you have been really looking at that word transformed. And behind that word transformed in the original Greek is a word that is said metamorphosis. You might recognize that word from your science class. Okay, that speaks about how a butterfly forms. How a butterfly begins as an egg. And then as an egg, it grows into a caterpillar. And then that caterpillar then becomes a chrysalis. And then out of that chrysalis comes this beautiful butterfly. So you have been looking at what that then means to be transformed. Well, we're going to look a little bit more at this morning as to see what it means for us in our spiritual lives. Now, another thing that I want you to know about this word transformed is how the Apostle Paul writes this word. And he writes it in the passive voice. That means that this is to allow God to transform us. Allow God to be the one who is working on us. Allow God to be the one who is renewing our minds. So Paul, in his day, how they might have read this to really get the full effect of the verb, they would say, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but allow God to transform you by the renewing of your mind. So I wanted you to see that first and foremost, that this is something that God is doing within you. And I think you've been talking about that throughout the year. Because I've seen that in your verses and in your materials, that you have seen that this is a changing from the inside out. And that God in his Spirit is the one that works in our hearts and works in our souls and works in our minds to begin that change and to effect that change. So that then we are not the same as we used to be. That's another word that this transform brings out, is that we should not be like we used to be, but rather this is a change so that we are different. That's what this word transform is all about. Now, why is this important? Why did the people in charge of GEMS in Grand Rapids, Michigan, decide that this was so important that our girls should learn about what it means to be transformed. Can I have my next slide, please? Next slide. And this comes right out of your leader's guide. A recent stat from the Barna Group may clarify things. Less than 1% of Gen Z, and that's you guys, you are Gen Z, has a biblical worldview. Now, a biblical worldview, what that means is how you understand things, how you see the world operating around you, and how you see that you operate within that world. Okay, what this is saying, that only 1% of your entire generation has this biblical worldview that God is in charge and that God is in charge of you. Next slide. In other words, if there were 100 teen, college-aged, or young adult in a room, only one girl's beliefs and behavior would be shaped by the capital T, truth of God's word. Next slide. Our girls are getting their truth, notice, small t, in quotes, from everywhere but the word of God. Now, I like the way that they put that truth in quotes. Because what's that saying is that the truth that the world wants our girls to know and to think about, what the world wants them to know is just a bunch of lies. And what the world is telling our girls is that you don't matter. What the world is telling our girls is that God doesn't love you. What the world is telling our girls is that you can be separated from God and separated from God's love. But what we want you to know this morning is that is a bunch of lies. But it's what the world wants to tell you. We here in our Christian faith, we want to tell you something different. We want to tell you a truth that is bigger than the truth that the world tells you. Well, Peter speaks about what is happening also in the world around him and around us. Look at what he says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, on my next slide. He writes, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Now, those might be scary words as we read them. That we have this enemy out there that is looking to devour us. That sounds scary. Well, I don't want you to be overly scared. All right. Because it's talking about Satan, and Satan actually is pretty weak. Okay. God and Jesus is a lot stronger than Satan. But we need to be aware. We need to be aware of what Satan does and how he likes to tell us lies. Okay? And what it says there, and you know where it says they're looking for someone to devour? You know what he really wants you to do? Satan really wants you to make bad decisions, and make mistakes so that you kind of really mess up your life. Satan would love to see you make all sorts of bad choices, bad decisions, so that your life would be messed up, and most of all, so that you would feel like you are separated from God, that you would feel like you are not loved by God. That's what this is talking about, where it says a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, looking for someone to take away from God, to take away from his plan, to kind of sow these seeds of doubt in their mind. And to say that, you talk about a God, but you think that God has a plan for you, but Satan says he doesn't have a plan for you. Satan says God doesn't love you. So what do we do? What do we need to do knowing that this is happening around us? I want you to see what Peter says even before he says that. He says, be alert and of sober mind. Be alert, be aware, and of sober mind. You have been talking about the transforming of your mind. Here Peter says to have a sober mind. Sober is the opposite of drunk. Okay, and what he's talking about there is that we can get so drunk and we can get so intoxicated with what the world is telling us. And we can get ourselves so caught up in that. And what Peter here is saying is that we need to clear our minds of that. And we need to have a sober mind. We need to have a clear mind, knowing that God loves us, knowing that God cares for us. So we are to have a sober mind. Well, as we move into our text for today, our text today talks about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And just a little bit of a clarification here before we go any further. I want you also to be aware that what we are talking about here this morning has nothing to do with salvation. Our salvation has already been won for us in Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when God calls us to faith in Jesus Christ, trust Him with our lives, we have our salvation. So what we are talking about here this morning does not have anything to do with salvation, but rather what we are talking, just to put a big word on it, would be sanctification. How do we live our lives knowing that Jesus has saved us and that God loves us? How do we live our lives in such a way that brings glory to God? So the Apostle Paul, as he is writing, he writes this word, therefore. And I think every preacher that preaches on this, when they get to the word therefore, they ask the congregation the same words, the same question, and I just got to ask it too. What is the therefore, therefore? Right? What is the therefore, therefore? Why does the Apostle Paul write that word, therefore? Well, we know that therefore is a connecting word. It connects everything that has gone on before to what he is saying now and to what he is going to continue to write. So for this morning, what I want to see is for us as to how this connects to what Paul has already said in the letter to the Romans. And Paul, in the letter to the Romans, he has laid out how we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. He has taught us in the book of Romans how we are stained by sin and how everyone is a sinner. Not one has done right within God's sight. But yet God, in his mercy and in his grace, gives to us his son Jesus. And when we have faith through him, then we are saved. And we are loved, and we continue to be and continue to live in that salvation. So I want to see how this connects to what Paul has already said. So in about the first 8 chapters, Paul lays that out. And then in chapters 9 through 11, he goes into just a little bit of an aside, and we're going to say for this morning's purposes that those are parenthetical. And we're just going to set those aside for today and because I want to connect these words to what Paul says right before that. So Romans chapter 8 can be a very familiar chapter. And he says there, after this, in these beautiful words, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life," he's talking about God's love here, "that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want for you to see a picture of what this looks like. Invite my daughter Rachel to come up here. And I want you to see a picture of what this looks like. Come on up. Rachel is my daughter. And she knew I was going to do this. So this isn't a surprise. And we've practiced. It says, "We are so joined to God." This is what it looks like. You see how close it is? If we could get our legs even closer together. If you would shine a light, you wouldn't be able to see anything back there. This is how closely God holds us. This is how closely we are so in the arms of God that absolutely nothing can separate us from God's love. We are loved by God. Absolutely nothing can separate us from God's love. Thank you, Rachel. You can go sit down. So when you hear those words, that's what I want you to think about. I want to think about God surrounding you and God holding you so tight that nothing can separate. Absolutely nothing can separate us from God's love. That's what the Apostle Paul says in those first 8 chapters. Therefore, next slide. Do not conform. Because you are so enjoined to God, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are going to see throughout the message, throughout this message, how these hang off of this truth that we have here. And here's where we come to that capital T, truth. If you have an outline with you, you will see I have some fill in the blanks for you. This is that first one, that big capital T, truth. This is the truth that we want to see this morning, that I know with 100% certainty, I will always and forever be loved by God. I know with 100% certainty, I will always and forever be loved by God. 3 applications that I want us to see here this morning, how they hang off of this one truth. Therefore, it's okay to be different. Therefore, it's okay to be different. I have the GEMS leader book here. And like I said before, in from the Barna Group, I got this out of this same book here, and I'm going to grab some more out of here because I like the way that they lay this out as to why it's important to think about this theme. And here's what they write. It is not easy being a girl today. Our girls in this generation are struggling. And recent research about their hearts and minds is disturbing, to say the least. Check out a few of these stats. 7 in 10 girls believe they are not good enough or do not measure up in some way, including their looks, performance in school, and relationships with family and friends and family members. That makes sense? Sometimes we just feel like we're not good enough. Sometimes we feel like everything's against us. We can struggle with that. And that's just saying we know that. We're aware of that. We're aware that you might struggle with that. Nearly 3 in 5 U.S. teen girls feel persistently sad or hopeless. It says here in 2021. And double that of boys. So there's more girls that are sad, feeling sad, than our boys, represent a nearly 60% increase and the highest level reported over the past decade. All right? Now, these next two, I'm going to say I question whether or not I should bring these next two up. But I did some research on the subject, and everything that I read said, yeah, bring it up. Talk about it openly. Talk about it openly. Don't gloss over it. Kids know that it's a reality, and the more that we talk about it, the better off they are. It's about suicide. Suicide is the taking of your own life. And here's what they write. It says, while suicide rates have increased among all youth, there has been a steep increase in young girls between the ages of 10 and 14. For Generation Z, suicide is now the 2nd leading cause of death. Now, the reason why I really struggled to even bring that up, because I don't want you thinking, well, if that's okay for them, then maybe it's okay for me too. If that is the way that they are thinking, and if that's okay for so many of my peers to take their own life, then why don't I do that as well? We do not want that to be you. We want you to be different. And that's why I wrote this. It's okay to be different. And we want you, when you're feeling sad and when you're feeling hopeless and when you're feeling like you don't measure up and when you don't feel loved by God, we want you to know that the capital T truth is that you are okay. And that you are loved. And that you are valued by God. And that God does have a plan for you. So you don't have to be like everyone else. You can be different and know that you are loved by God. You're in a small minority because of the stats that we saw before. A large part of your generation doesn't believe that they have a God that loves them. But you can be different. And you can know the truth that there is a God who created you and loves you so deeply and so intimately. And that's what makes you different. And you can be different. It's okay. So therefore, it's okay to be different. So therefore, next slide, please. I will change my thinking when needed. It goes right along with what I just said. I will change my thinking when needed. You know, I think about electricity. And when you think about electricity, you see a big power plant, and you see the wires that connect to the house. I thought that you had the power plant, and then you had the house, and that there was this just direct one wire from the power plant directly to the house. Like, I think that's how I thought it worked. You know, everything just starts there and comes over here, and voila, there it is. But you know what I found out? I learned that this power plant over here produces like a gazillion, jillion watts of power. And if it were to come directly over to my house would blow up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we don't want that, do we? All right, so what I learned is that in between, there are these things, this equipment that is taking those gazillion, jillion watts here and making them a little smaller, a little bit more manageable. So there's like a substation. And we see these around town and out by the new Microsoft data centers. You can see the power lines coming in there, and it's all what it's doing is taking those gazillion, jillion watts and making them smaller, less of them, using that same power. And then maybe right outside your house, maybe up on the electric pole, you see this little piece of equipment that's called a transformer. That's making it even smaller. The same amount of power, all this power coming through, but what is happening is this equipment is making it manageable, making it useful. What I want for you to know this morning is that is what God does with His Word. God, with all the power that God has, and with all the power that He has in His Holy Spirit, He speaks to us through His Word, because that way we can understand it. It makes it manageable for us. It helps us to read those words, and then through the power of the Holy Spirit, the gazillion, jillion watts of the Holy Spirit comes through His Word, and it becomes manageable for us. That is how God works for us, and that is how God speaks to us. And how God uses His Word to change our thinking when needed. So therefore, it's okay to be different. Therefore, I will change my thinking when needed. and therefore I will always think about God. I will always think about God. We never leave the thoughts of God. God is always thinking about us. And so when God is always thinking about us, we in turn, through the power of His Holy Spirit, have the power then and the ability to always be thinking about Him. And God loves each and every one of us so much. And that when we read His word and when we devote ourselves to Him, we become so close to Him. Just the way that Rachel and I demonstrated. So close to Him. And so captivated by God. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can pull us away. When we always think about God, when we seek His will, and when we look to do His will. Throughout the year, you've been thinking about butterflies. I spoke a little bit about this earlier. You know, there was once a man. We'll call him, we'll say that he was a farmer. And he was walking along his fence line, and amazingly enough, his eyes caught something. And he could see a chrysalis, okay? And he could see that chrysalis was moving. So he thought, wow, this butterfly, this caterpillar is changing into a butterfly, and it's about to come out. So as a farmer usually does, he has a pocket knife. And so he took out his pocket knife. He thought, boy, that poor butterfly shouldn't have to struggle, because he could see that butterfly was struggling. He thought, that poor butterfly shouldn't have to struggle like that. I'm going to help him out. So he took his little pocket knife and just ever so gently just slid it a little bit. And a butterfly fell out and died. Sad. Why did the butterfly die? Because the butterfly needs to have that struggle. The butterfly needs to have that struggle of getting out of that chrysalis, of exercising its wings, and then to hang there, and then to have its wings dry out, and then to exercise its wings. Because what the butterfly there does is he gains muscle as he dries out and as he flaps his wings. And then he is able to fly away. But he needs to have that struggle. So here's what I want you to know today, is that everything that we've been talking about today and everything that you've been talking about in GEMS just doesn't happen overnight. All right? It's going to be a lifetime struggle for you. Some days you're going to think that, I don't know where God is today. I think He's on vacation. And other days you're going to feel really close to God. You're like, wow, God is right beside me. You're going to have that struggle. That's okay. You need those times of struggle. You need to build up that muscle in our lives, not only in our physical muscles. Just think about what happens if you don't exercise your arms, your legs. We also need that in our spiritual lives, in our daily lives. That constant thinking about God, that constant maybe even wrestling with God. But knowing all the way that God is the one who loves you and sustains you. But it's not something that happens easy and overnight. Anyway, thinking of, we've been talking about thinking, and I must admit this morning that even I struggle with thinking good thoughts about myself all the time. You know what we call stinky thinking. Yeah, have you heard that before? Stinky thinking. It's those times when you just don't feel good about yourself. And I'm here to say this morning that I struggle with that. There are some days where I just don't feel like I can do anybody a bit of good. And there are some days where I just look at my life and I think about things that are going on and I think about things that are coming up and I go, oh, I don't want to deal with this. And my family knows that sometimes I'll even blurt it out. You know, I'm sick of this. You know? And they say, Dad, you're stinky thinking again. And Dad goes, yeah, I am. I want you to know that that's a struggle for me. So if it's a struggle for you, we're in the same boat. Now, the other day, the other morning, I had this going on, and even as I, while I was thinking this way, God continued to speak to me. And for some reason, he kept on bringing back up a passage that said to me, your righteousness will shine like the dawn. And it kept on going over and over in my mind. And as I thought about that, I gained more and more strength. And I felt better and better and better about things. And I thought, you know, that's got to be found somewhere in the Bible. And I don't always know where everything is found. And sometimes I struggle with where it's like, okay, I know that's a scripture somewhere. Sometimes and this is where I do get hard on myself. Sometimes I think I should know where that is. But you know what we have today? This little thing called Google. So I Googled it, okay? I Googled that phrase. And I saw, yeah, it comes from the book of Psalms, my favorite book. In fact, it came from Psalm 37. Now, I'm such a way, you know, I just can't be happy with knowing that. Especially when it comes to a psalm, I need to know the whole thing. And I need to especially know how it ends, and I need to know how it begins. So here I am thinking about everything that I got going on and really worrying and getting consumed by anxiety, I would say. So I punched up Psalm 37 on my Bible app on my phone, and these are the words that I read. Next slide, please. Do not fret. Those were the words that I read. I was thinking that way, that anxiety, and God, because I knew just that one phrase, God was able then to connect me to these words, do not fret. But I couldn't stop reading there. I had to keep going on. Next slide. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Keep going. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. See the colon there? All right? So what he's going to say is that this is what God's going to do. And here's the phrase I was looking for. This is what God's going to do. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. Girls, my point for you today is you're here, you're young. Learn and study Scripture while you are young. Memorize Scripture while you are young. When you get old like me, it doesn't come as easy. All right? But you're young. The neurons in your brain are firing crisp and clean. Mine is all full of junk. They don't work as good as it used to. So learn, and even if you, memorization, it seems like such a chore. It was never my strong point. My daughter Rachel, on the other hand, she's a memorizer. All right? She can memorize lots. I can't. But even if you can't remember it word for word, you never know when God is going to lift that up and bring it into your mind so that it is then useful for you. The power of the Spirit is going to bring to your mind so then that it is manageable for you. So learn Scripture. Learn it. Dwell on it. Meditate on God's Word while you are young. Let us pray. Gracious God, your ancient words are so relevant for us today. Changing me and changing you, changing us all. And God, I want to thank you for these girls that are here this morning and their families that are here. And God, I pray that these words, these feeble words, would be empowered by your Holy Spirit. That within these words, everyone here would see the truth of your love, the truth of your providential plan for each and every one of us here today. So God, bless us as we seek to worship you, as we seek to learn more about you, as we are empowered by your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we're going to receive an offering. Our offering this morning is for our GEMS Club. It's going to be split between our local club as well as the headquarters that...